Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Playing for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our topics that we're going to go into tonight will be the topic of safe spaces and the topic of Trump. And we're going to have miscellaneous issues. Those are just issues that are that just come up or that are in my mind. Yes. Anyway, we just heard a song from, well, the introductory song to the show is from a person named Kimber entitled Black Renaissance. I like the term Renaissance. I like that word. What it means is like a reawakening. And what I have here from my dictionary, so to speak, it says Renaissance. It pertains to Renaissance art. But there's also Renaissance in terms of enlightenment, mental enlightenment as well. That term is also there. But in terms of Renaissance art, it says is the painting, sculpture, and decorative arts of the period of European history known as the Renaissance, emerging as a distinct style in Italy between 1400, that is the 1400s, and it says in parallel with developments which occurred in philosophy, literature, music, and science, the period of the Renaissance. Especially, I like that, the last part of the definition, it says here, parallel with developments which occurred in philosophy, literature, music, and science, in an awakening. I like that. That term is especially relevant today with what's going on in our country, and I guess in the world as well, but especially here in our country because we are here. Okay, so moving right along, I have to also read my preamble to the show, so to speak. Some words from Frederick Douglass, spoken in 1886. That was basically something like 20 some odd years after the Civil War, when black folk were considered to have been citizens per the U.S. Constitution and its amendments. Well, more so, the amendments to the U.S. Constitutions, better said like that. Douglas had said, you know, after experiencing, no doubt, what was taking place with what they then called the freed men and women, that is, freed men and women who once were slaves in this country. Anyway, it says, Douglas had written, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither person nor property will be safe. That was the Honorable Frederick Douglass who said that. And keep in mind also, whenever we think of Frederick Douglass, if we do think of Frederick Douglass at all, he was a slave who taught himself to read in spite of the fact that black people at that point in time were forbidden by law to read or write. And just think of that. Forbidden by law to read. Reading is considered today, I guess like yesterday too, but not for black people. Yesterday, a pastime. Reading was something to do to pass time. And in passing time, a method in which one could enlighten oneself or even improve their mental faculties. But not for black people. It was forbidden. Outrageous. Just outrageous. But we've come a long way from there to now. Or should I say, we've come a long way from then until now. And still, we have much further to go. Because I always say, just saying, never, how can I put this here? I'm trying to put it in the way in which it evolved to my mind. And that was, you know, don't dwell on far we have to go, but better to dwell on how far we have come. Yes, just to put that in perspective, that thought came to me in, that thought came to me during a time when I was going through some things, and I was in the process of getting from point A to point B with my feet. I had to walk, and it was quite a distance in which I was walking to get from point A to point B. And that's when that thought came to me in terms of, you know, don't consider how much further you have to go, but consider how far you have come. And it helped. It was psychological, but yes, indeed, it helped me continue. It helped me to keep on going. Yes, it did. Okay, so moving right along. But, you know, I wanted to also say something else about what Frederick Douglass has said there about where justice is denied and where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, especially the part about ignorance. You know, today, a case in point with ignorance and where and when it prevails. Right now, as we are seeing, because of Donald Trump, it's obvious that ignorance prevails in a lot of places in this country. And if it's enforced ignorance or not, that's another issue. But okay, I just wanted to have thrown that out there, the situational condition about someone noticing when and where ignorance prevails and what can come about because of the prevalence of ignorance. Much to be thought on that. That's why it's important that we always should be thinking about issues as they pertain to us and issues that surround us, because believe it or not, they do in fact affect us in one way or another. As Dr. King had he was the first to say it. I guess it was more so a quote from him that he got from other thinkers. What affects one directly can, in fact, affect all indirectly. He said something like that. I think he said more so that where injustice affects one indirectly, injustice can in fact affect all indirectly. Indeed, because I always bring up the fact that we all in this existence are connected. That is, we all, I could even say animate as well as inanimate matter. Better to say matter, because when I say matter, that encompasses all objects as well. But okay, so moving right along still. Well, I was going off in a tangent there, but that's a part of thinking. God bless. I always say that God bless, I have the capacity to think. I even say sometimes that perhaps I say more so that perhaps it's a blessing and or curse, or perhaps it's both a blessing and curse to be able to think, have the ability to think. Anyway, so as I said, the first issue or topic I want to go into is the issue of safe spaces. That in itself is a, how can I put it, that is a intellectual construction there. It took thought for somebody to come up with the term safe space. And that in itself is something of the intellect. I'll put it like that for lack of a better word or term. Indeed, I'll put it just like that, yes. It derives from the intellect. Anyway, what I have here says, in educational institutions, safe space, well, okay, it says safe space, hyphenated, well, there's a hyphen between safe and space, and then it says, or safe space, safe, no hyphen, space. Safe space and positive space originally were terms used to indicate that a teacher, educational institution, or student body does not tolerate anti-LGBT violence, harassment, or hate speech, thereby creating a safe space for all lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students. The term safe space has been extended to refer to a space for individuals who feel marginalized to come together to communicate regarding their experiences with marginalization, typically on a university campus. The idea of safe spaces, has seen criticism on the grounds that it stifles freedom of speech. You know, right there, I would say that I would basically disagree with that, I disagree with the criticism that safe space, the term itself, or more so the term and or the creation of safe spaces stifles freedom of speech, because in a real sense, that all depends upon what, how can I put it, that all depends upon the speech that one wants to have the freedom to expound. That's a good word. Yes, that all depends upon the freedom of speech that one wants to expound. Because as we know, I mean, freedom of speech is one thing, but then with all freedom or freedoms, as I've said before, freedom comes with responsibility. So anyway, moving right along in this article here, it says that and it refers to Britain, the United Kingdom. But let me say first, before I go on into read this thing about Britain, you know, I had the, either the misfortune or good fortune to work around some British people. I say misfortune because it was a totally negative experience. And if I say good fortune, it was because it was educational. I wouldn't have known what I came to know if I hadn't had the unfortunate opportunity to work around some British people. And to me in this day, those people are seriously suspect when it comes to consideration for the humane feelings of others. That's one way to put it. They are suspect when it comes to feelings. No, that's not the right way to put that. As I'm trying to say, I feel that in this day, the British people are suspect when they mouth their concerns about humane feelings for others. Better said, for suspect mouthing humane feelings for others other than themselves. But having said that, I'm going to have to stop there, because I'm going to have to go into a music break. It's 15 minutes to the hour, and we'll be right back. Let's see how my playlist is going to act with me tonight. Anyway, I'm going to try to play here a song from DJ Doughboy entitled Open. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Boy, you got me open. Got me thinking back to everything going on. Late at night, and when I wake up in the morning, can't deny you, baby. But you got me open. You got me open. Hey, you and I are perfect at a tune. Before a queen, a king would soon. Fantastic.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from DJ Doughboy entitled Open. Interesting beat that was there. I like that. So moving right along, let me give our caller number here first before I move right along. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And right now we're on the topic and or issue of safe space and or safe spaces. Call in and give me your take on what this issue is about and if it should be such a thing as safe space or safe spaces and what it means to you. So moving right along, I was last talking about, because I was about to read something about the United Kingdom, Britain, that is, about them going or them having this issue as well about safe spaces. And I was talking about my fortunate and or unfortunate experience with those people. But also, what I would say is I was saying how, you know, them having humane feelings, I think is false. Because it seemed to me that the only humane feelings that they do, in fact, have are for themselves. And I think that if a person does in fact have humane feelings, they can't help but have these feelings for others as well as themselves. That's just my opinion, and I think it's more so true than not true. Anyway, the article goes further to say, in early 2015, the increasing adoption of safe spaces in the UK, or more so in UK universities, aroused controversy due to accusations that they were used to stifle free speech and differing political views. Let me read that again. In early 2015, the increasing adoption of safe spaces in UK universities aroused controversy due to accusations that they were used to stifle free speech and differing political views. That's an opinion. And the article goes further to say that in September 2016, Prime Minister Theresa May hit out at universities for implementing safe space policies amid concerns that self-censorship is curtailing freedom of speech on campuses. The Prime Minister said it was quite extraordinary for universities to ban the discussion of certain topics which could cause offense. She warned that stifling free speech could have a negative impact on Britain's economic and social success. Something that jumped out at me while reading that, or when I read that, was what she said about safe space policies amid concerns that self-censorship is curtailing freedom of speech on campuses. You know, self-censorship, in a real sense, that's a component of freedom of speech. But more so said, that's a component of freedom of speech in the sense of having responsibility or being responsible with one's freedom of speech. You know, in other words, knowing what to say as opposed to not knowing what not to say. But anyway, the way she put that, it was in the reverse of what is actually true. It's interesting to me how people do that. It's very interesting how people do that. And one has to be, how can I put it, one has to have a certain, I guess I can say that one has to have a certain mental discernment quality about themselves to pick up on that, to be able to distinguish that as people speak or as they read what people have written. But anyway, moving right along, the article goes further to say that in the United States, the concept originated in the women's movement, where it implies a certain license to speak and act freely from collective strength and generate strategies for resistance. A means rather than an end, not only a physical space, but also a space created by the coming together of women searching for a community. The first safe spaces were gay bars and consciousness-raising groups. Interesting. That they say that safe spaces was a term originated by the women's movement. And then they go on to include the first safe spaces were gay bars and consciousness-raising groups. I mean, I won't go there yet. But I won't go there yet. I'll continue reading what I have here. It goes further to say that advocates for youth states... this is something different here, but it still pertains to safe spaces. Reading out the mindset behind the term safe spaces. Okay, it goes further to say that advocates for youth states on their website was that a safe space is a place where anyone can relax and be fully self-expressed without fear of being made to feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, or challenged on account of biological, sex, race/ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, cultural background, age, or physical or mental ability, a place where the rules guard each person's self-respect, dignity, and feelings, and strongly encourage everyone to respect others. However, some people consider safe space culture as a violation of the First Amendment and a mechanism for retreating from opinions which contrast with one's own. Again, that goes back also to what to what the British definition, or more so to what some in Britain in the UK also thought, or more so for the proponents against safe spaces. They argue against safe space, but I don't follow their argument against safe spaces, because in a real sense, safe spaces are actually needed. Because let me just go on and continue reading some of this here, but I have something to say later on. Anyway, this article also has within it some words such as once you designate some space as safe, you imply that the rest are unsafe. The same article gave the following example of a safe space at Brown University when libertarian Wendy McElroy, who was known for criticizing the term rape culture, was coming to give a speech. You hear that now? Let me read that part again. It says here, the same article gave the following example of a safe space at Brown University when libertarian Wendy McElroy, who was known for criticizing the term rape culture, was coming to give a speech. And it has here in quotes, it said, the safe space, Miss Brown explained, was intended to give people who might find comments troubling or triggering a place to recuperate. Anyway, going right along, because the article here is confusing. I'm not sure if this person, Wendy McElroy, was for or against the term rape culture, because some people are even against that term, rape culture. But anyway, that kind the term rape culture, in my opinion, came from an intellectual incubator, so to speak. That term had to be given birth for a phenomenon or for a happening that continued to happen and continues to happen. And it's like nobody is aware of it. But yet, rape is a reality, not just in America, but throughout the world. And that is a very unfortunate reality. But that's, well, it is an issue within this issue. But I'll move right along, because we can get bogged down in talking about that. A horrible situation. But, I mean, then we have to go into the mindset of a man. Who would rape a woman? But then again, it's also known today that men can be raped as well, by male or female. But even there, the issue again gets bogged down into into terminology and definition. And this article here, again on safe spaces, it goes on to say journalist Connor Friedersdorf criticized the use of outdoor safe spaces to block press coverage of student protests. According to Friedersdorf, such uses reverse the intent of safe spaces. This behavior is a kind of self-baiting, using intimidation or initiating physical aggression to violate someone's rights, then acting like your target is making you safe. See, people, I mean, words, we have to discern what words mean and also what words don't mean, then also if words can mean anything at all. All these things are necessary. But again, it takes a certain ability to have discernment. It takes a certain mental ability to have discernment. It's evident in some and lacking in others. Anyway, this article here goes on to say Milo Yiannopoulos, let me see if I can pronounce that word or that name, Milo Yiannopoulos, a conservative British journalist and public speaker, has repeatedly spoken out against safe spaces, citing their threat to freedom of speech and restriction of education. His views are closely supported by other conservative speakers, such as Christina Hoff Sommers and Steven Crowder, whoever they are, but I guess we can always look those people up, which is something that I do on occasion. But this guy, Milo Yiannopoulos, he's becoming somewhat famous as of late. I've been hearing his name a lot in the news or on television, the media. Recently, he was on, Bill Maher on his show, and I had seen a clip from that show posted on my Facebook feed. And I won't say he's interesting, but he's quite a character. He's quite a character. And vile, even. I'll say he's quite a vile character. But I might have more, I will have more to say on him, if not in this show, but in shows to be. Yes, because I even found some stuff on the internet about this. I'm going to call him a clown. Basically, he is a clown, in my opinion. And this article goes further to say that not all criticism has come from social conservatives. British actor and writer Stephen Fry has criticized safe spaces and trigger warnings as infantilism, more so infantilizing, and possibly eroding free speech. The animated comedy series South Park made an episode lampooning safe spaces. Look into this South Park, but that's a cartoon that I never really liked. I mean, I never really watched it, but sometimes it would be playing, and I'd hear what they were saying, or more so how they were saying it. And it was a show that never engaged my mental appetite, for lack of a better word or term. It just never did. But I might look into an episode of this here about where they're lampooning safe spaces, because I consider the cartoon itself vulgar. I really did consider that cartoon vulgar, the way, you know, they would represent little children in that cartoon cursing the way those the character that they had as children would be cursing and swearing and carrying on. That in itself, it turned me off from it. But, well, long story there. But anyway, yeah, with safe spaces, people who tend to criticize that term, they like to also bring in the situation of it limiting free speech and or expression and also infringing upon our First Amendment. But again, I fall back on, you know, freedom carries with it responsibility. If a person who professes to want freedom, they've got to also be mentally equipped to recognize the responsibilities that freedom or freedoms do carry with it. And it's further my opinion that if a person isn't willing to recognize the responsibility that comes with freedom of being free, well, I would just say then, well, being facetious, I say they ought not be free, basically. People like that need to be put, being facetious, they need to be put in a cage. But then again, I don't necessarily believe in imprisonment, but people who are antagonistic towards society, well, not antagonistic towards society per se, but are antagonistic toward individuals in society without cause, these people need to be put somewhere, maybe in an area, you know, to themselves, for themselves, by themselves. Even if there's a lot of people like that, find a place for them. I mean, definitely so. So moving right along, I have another article extending away from safe spaces, but still within the realm of free speech, having free speech, because free speech and safe spaces, I mean, the two terms, they go together. One goes into the other. It's not that they are mutually exclusive. No, they're not. In fact, they are mutually inclusive. So I would believe. Because, again, everything is connected in one way or another. So, but before I go into this article connected to free spaces, which is I'm going into free speech next, we're going to have another music break because it's now 5 after the hour. And this song is going to be from D. Terrence featuring Colleen, entitled Chin Chin. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, be condo. Terrence, Colleen, here we go. But you're the best thing that a buddy ever seen. Well, you were wrong, everything is so evergreen. But you the truth, and this is not a fallacy. You're the only girl I need, this could be your remedy. Cause I'ma strap you to myself like a backpack, and you can have it all, yeah, nobody can tap that. I love your face and your silhouette. When you break it down, you make a nigga want a broken leg. Yeah, all I wanna do is put you high on a pedestal. Give you all of me, I promise I'll never let you go. Tell you how I feel, yeah, I spell every syllable. Over to my place, I can show you everything I know. We can start it slow, sip some wine, watch a movie, yo. Then I take you on, you doing things you never did before. Biting on your lips, I can tell you what in the mood. But this is just the intro, let me show
this
you what I mean.
This is what I'm here to say, through the weekend, the start of the weekend. You want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give them right a bad boy, right up to the deep end. To the weekend, the start of the weekend. You want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give them right a dive boy, right up to the deep end.
Eyes so pretty, lips so pretty. Shorty, you the real deal, and I'm not kidding. Been around the world, seen these girls in the city. But you stuck up in my mind every day, every weekend. Slow it down, girl, why you run to? The more you play, how the game makes me want you. I left it so the girls, I ain't even right, damn. All the shit I did before, that's in the past, damn. I can be the competition, you can be the final prize. Play my game right, and I promise I won't finish last. All the niggas trying, but I'm definitely build the last. And I'ma hold you down like a soldier, hold this fucking vest. Your beauty is divine, I wanna make you mine. I think that this could be our time. The way you make me smile, the way I make you laugh. Hold up, let me look into the mask one more time.
Of the weekend, you want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give me right a bad boy, right up to the deep end. To the weekend, the start of the weekend. You want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give me right a dive boy, right up to the deep end.
To the day and the start of the weekend. You're my mind 24, you what I'm thinking. Chin chin, popping bottles every weekend. You my ride or die chick, right up to the deep end. Through the day and the start of the weekend. You on my mind 24, you what I'm thinking. Chin chin, popping bottles every weekend. You my ride or die chick, especially
at the
deep end.
Through the weekend, the start of the weekend. You on my mind 24, you what I'm thinking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. You my ride or die boy, right up to the deep end. Through the weekend, the start of the weekend. You on my mind 24, you what I'm thinking. Baby,
welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from D. Terrence featuring Colleen entitled Chin Chin. And listening to the song, I'm thinking to myself, why do they sound so much like Jay-Z and Beyonce? But that's just my opinion listening to them. Okay, but God bless them. But then again, I guess that's a sound. That's a sound that a lot of people, I guess, well, not a lot of people, but I guess people in the industry seek to imitate. Yeah, that's on the same level as, just saying, firstly, I don't listen to a lot of rap music. I've been turned off from rap ever since they murdered Tupac Shakur. But after that, I tend to notice that a lot of rappers who have been coming out, they all seem to sound the same. A lot of them seem to sound like they're high off cough syrup or high off something, you know. Well, anyway, moving right along. Our call-in number, let me give that out firstly, is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and do express your opinion on the issue that that I've discussed thus far so far, or on this issue right here, or even on just what I said about the record that just went out. That just went off from D. Terrence featuring Colleen about how they sound somewhat like Jay-Z and Beyonce. So moving right along with this issue of this article now on free speech. which again I say is related to safe spaces. This article here says, free speech is the idea that the public good is served by allowing everyone to state their beliefs and opinions without punishment, including very unpopular and perhaps repulsive ideas. Censorship is the restriction of speech, most commonly by a government or powerful body. You know, I want to read that part there again about where they say, including very, well, I'm just going to say what it says here about free speech, including very unpopular and perhaps repulsive ideas. Are we aware that at one point in time in this country, during the days of slavery, bringing up the issue of slavery was really unpopular for the public good? So it was stated. And freedom for slaves, black people, was also considered a repulsive idea. Picture that. But again, now, you know, this is the crux of the issue of free speech, such as having the freedom to express one's ideas. But also it falls back on the situation of what are those ideas. Are the ideas repulsive? Are the ideas negative? Because I think for an idea to be repulsive, an idea must also be negative, and the reverse must be true also. If an idea is negative, if thoughts are negative, those thoughts more so than not will be repulsive also. But again, consider what I just said there, and that is that during the 18th, 17th, 16th century, the idea of talking about slavery in discussion, especially in the negative, in the sense that slavery should be abolished in the negative, it was considered unpopular and something not to be discussed. And then also concerning the idea of black people not being slaves, that idea was repulsive to the public mind. But the thing is, though, was it really so repulsive? What made that idea repulsive? And then again, in actuality, in fact, was such an idea really repulsive? In my opinion, the answer can only be no. But again, what would make the idea of a black person being free repulsive? That's something to be considered. But then, all right, that was then. We're dealing with now at this point in time. And like when it comes to freedom of speech, today it seems like ideas that are repulsive should be freely, well, so is being said by people who are against safe spaces. They feel that ideas, even though repulsive, thoughts, even though repulsive, should be bandied about in the public sphere, or just anywhere for that matter, in private and public, wherever. I mean, even in private, a person says something that's negative. You say, yo, you ought not say something like that. It's my right. I got freedom of speech. Yes, you may have freedom of speech, but what about responsibility in what you're saying? You know, it kind of reminds me of a time. Without going into a lot of details, it reminds me of a time when I was upset with this certain person, and I was on my way somewhere, and this person was in the process of following me, and I realized that, and I told this person, you know, yo, stop following me, and that person responded with, it's a free country. I could follow you. Let me try to get it right, because my response was also appropriate. She had told me, I can follow you. It's a free country. I told her, yes, but it's not free to follow me. you know, I can laugh now at that, but it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny when I said it, and it wasn't funny in the situation in which I had said it. But even soon after that situation, reflecting back on what, and it was a she, reflecting back on what she said and then what I said, I even then I had to chuckle. She's going to tell me that that she could follow me because it's a free country, and I had to tell her, well, it's not free to follow me. No, it's not, because, hey, it's up to me to stop that, and I can stop that if I should so choose. But then again, why should I have to choose that? No, the person ought to be respectful of my request, and that is, don't follow me. But still, that's within this situation of freedom. Freedom, as always, comes with responsibility. Anyway, move right along. Maybe I got sidetracked in saying what I was saying there, but in essence, I kind of summed up what I meant here with the term freedom of whatever. Anyway, this article here goes on further to say that belief in free speech comes in various strengths, from strongest to weakest. And it gives examples, and also like bullet points. It says, well, they call them bullet points, but they give examples. It says, any individual discussion and forum should allow completely open and wide-ranging expression, and no one should be silenced or punished in any way for the expression of any opinion in any form. I agree and disagree with that, because it goes back to, again, responsibility in saying what one is saying, or knowing, in other words, too, that there are limits in which something should be said, or limits to what we can say. I mean, being cognizant of the issue of being responsible, mentally responsible, and caring also, considerate, another word. Moving right along, it says also, example, no one should be silenced or punished by the government for speech or writing unless the language is likely to cause immediate harm, such as the stampede that might be caused by shouting fire in a crowded place. You see, that makes sense there. But again, I mean, that goes back to, you know, the nuance of this situation, the nuance of how we express ourselves, and the nuance in terms of what we adhere to believe and what we accept for ourselves. I mean, I accept my freedom of speech. I accept the fact that I do, in fact, have freedom of speech. But also, like I said, I got to say again, I know that with this freedom of speech, there comes responsibility. And then again, just in saying that, I think about how sometimes in some situations, a situation can be so frustrating that in my freedom of speech and therefore expression, I might use a profusion of profanity. I mean, the words themselves, they are considered vulgar. I consider profanity vulgar. Yes, I do. And hence, I don't use it all the time and everywhere. But there are situations wherein profanity is the best. How can I put it? Profanity can become the choicest words to be used in which to get my point across to this person with whom I'm speaking with. It's like that also. But then nuance in this situation. Nuance has to be in with all things, knowing when, where, and how. I mean, the best course of action to take. And I guess I can say that for people who do think, for people who do have the power of discernment or the ability to discern, it's a good thing. But for those people who don't have the power to think and or the ability to have discernment, then I mean anything goes. Anything goes. And those are the kind of people that we have to really be cognizant of and wonder about, especially when they start talking, especially when they start speaking, okay? Anyway, the article goes further here to say that there are people who genuinely hold the considered belief that all forms of free speech listed are desirable. But there are others who rely on recognized benefits of freedom, on recognized benefits of free speech, to argue that their opinions should be tolerated in any form without believing the same about any opposing opinions. The partially contradictory opinion that an individual forum or publisher, especially if not government controlled, has the right to refuse to publish any kind of content they choose, and that this is useful in promoting productive and civil discussion. Well, see, that's where, well, that's an, this is another area wherein nuance comes in to the situation of freedom of speech. And also safe spaces can be included within that, because this speech also goes into spaces as well, and where individuals congregate, or just where an individual just might happen to be standing and might be reading a billboard and read something. What the fuck did I just read? You know, I just like that. They read a billboard. What the, you know, just like that. Well, I won't go there, because I was going to throw out something there also that had once happened to me as a case in point. But I'll leave that and continue with this article here. but again, the nuance there. So, like, let me read that part again. It says here that there are people who genuinely hold the considered belief that all forms of free speech listed are desirable. Again, there's nuance with this statement. And it goes further to say, but there are others who rely on recognized benefits of free speech to argue that their opinions should be tolerated in any form, in any forum, without believing the same about any opposing opinions. That's another consideration, which is false. Well, there's nuance with that as well. It goes further to say, the partially contradictory opinion that an individual, forum, or publisher, especially if not government controlled, has the right to refuse to publish any kind of content they choose, and that this is useful in protecting productive and civil discussion. Moving along still with the article, it goes on to say that the most common disingenuous use of the right of free speech or goodness of free speech in arguments is to conflate it with a right to freedom from criticism, that is, to imply that critical opponents are trying to silence someone by the mere fact of being critical, or that merely asking for voluntary silencing is equivalent to censorship. The right to free speech or claims of censorship are also commonly used to describe and criticize any group that silences or punishes anyone for speech and writing, even if that group is not backed by government authority or any formal authority at all. Nuance. But having the power of discernment, we can discern what is as opposed to what isn't, and it's highly necessary. And the article goes further to say that everyone is entitled to their thoughts and opinions, and we are entitled as a community to exclude a few in order to welcome the many that have been marginalized time and time again. See, that's in reference to free speech as well as safe spaces. But this part here is, you have to read the words carefully and understand, well, what is written. It says, everyone is entitled to their thoughts and opinions. You know, I agree and disagree with that. I believe that everyone is entitled to think properly. I'll leave it like that. Everyone is entitled to think properly. Because in saying that, I will say that let me get it correct. I say that to say that, as we know, a lot of people do not think properly. Case in point, historically, who can reason that it was proper to think that man or woman can and should be held to be a slave? And in this day, we think about, how do they put it today, trafficking. They talk about human trafficking, but like when they talk about human trafficking today, they're more so talking about the situation of prostitution, having people, children even, and either sex, caught up in a web of intimidation for the purpose of exploiting them, for the purpose of exploiting them for what, in whatever situation or purpose. So no, it says everyone is entitled to their thoughts and opinions. No. Anyway, and it goes further to say that, and we are entitled as community to exclude a few in order to welcome the many that have been marginalized time and time again. Again, I mean, we have to be careful with that. Realize, or more so discern, who are these marginalized people? Because anyone can claim to be marginalized. Anyone can claim to have been hurt by what someone has said. But then it has to be considered, okay, what was said? You see, we have to go there as well. But moving right along, because we can get bogged down into that as well. And then we have something here entitled freedom of choice, which is also related to freedom of free space or safe space. And well, freedom of choice, I mean, that's obvious there too. It's the same kind of freedom. It pertains to safe space. A person has freedom of choice to want a safe space. A person has freedom of choice to use, well, more so to have freedom of expression. But it does say here that freedom of choice is a broad term, indeed, is a broad term, and includes several ideas associated with, it says here, associated with feminism, such as reproductive choices, but it has a couple of specific usages in circles which defend sexism. See, this article here did talk about choice feminism, but that's another issue as well. So I won't go into that at this point. That could be an issue for another time and space. But here's something here. I think that that the word or term intersectionality can have something to do with free space, and as well free speech as well, and the situation of freedom of choice. Because intersectionality, so it has come to be, tends to put many things in an intellectual framework, and by doing so, tends to how can I put it? And by doing so, it tends to connect certain aspects of each situation to one another to a greater or lesser degree. And I find it interesting. And just saying, I also find that because I'm hearing this word intersectionality somewhat a lot lately, I'm going to have to do some reading on this because, again, it's an intellectual term. It's basically an intellectual term that has come about within the last 20 years. And I have to, you know, discern just what's being said here or not said here. But like, let me read here something that it does say here. What it says is that intersectionality is a concept often used in critical theories to describe the ways in which oppressive institutions, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, ableism, xenophobia, classism, etc., are interconnected and cannot be examined separately from one another. The concept first came from legal scholar Kimberly Crenshaw in 1989, and is largely used in critical theory, especially feminist theory, when discussing systemic oppression. When possible, credit Kimberly Crenshaw for coining the term intersectionality and bringing the concept to wider attention. But just saying, you know, earlier in the week, I was trying to find something that Kimberly Crenshaw had written on intersectionality, and maybe I'm looking in the wrong places. I was even looking on the internet, but what I would find was other people who would cite her, not exactly citing her work, but just cite her and bringing about the term intersectionality. But I was looking for something that she herself had written on intersectionality, what it is, why it is, and how it is. But I haven't found that yet. But I'm going to continue looking because I want to read about this. And I just don't want to read about what someone else says it is and thinks about what she said it is. But I want to read what she said it is. She's also a lawyer from what I understood. But anyway, it's past time for another music break. I misread my chart, unfortunately. Anyway, we're going to go into another song now. And this song is from J. Cole, entitled False Prophets. Be like this. And here we go. We'll be right back.
Somebody should have told me it would be like this, be like this, be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah. Life is a balance. You lose your grip, you can slip into an abyss. No doubt, you see these niggas tripping. Ego in charge of every move, he's a star. And we can't look away due to the days that he caught our hearts. He's falling apart, but we deny it. Justifying a half-assed shitty drop, we always buy it. When he tell us he a genius, but it's clearer lately. It's been hard for him to look into the mirror lately. There was a time when this nigga was my hero, maybe. That's the reason why his fall from grace is hard to take. Cause I believed him when he said his shit was pure, ain't he? The type of nigga swear he real, but all around him's fake. The women, the dick riders, you know the yes men. Nobody with the balls to say something to contest them. So he grows out of control until the person that he truly was all along is starting to show. Damn, wonder what happened. Maybe it's my fault for idolizing niggas based off the words they be rapping. When come to find out, these niggas don't even write they shit. Hit some new style bubbling up, then they bite this shit. Damn. What I get for lying to myself. Well, fuck it. What's more important is he's crying out for help. While the world's egging him on, I'm begging him to stop it. Playing his old shit, knowing he won't top it. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, I got a homie, he a rapper and he wanna win bad. He wants the fame, the acclaim, the respect that's been had by all the legends. So every time I see him, he's stressing. Talking about niggas, don't fuck with him. This shit is depressing. And I know he's so bitter, he can't see his own blessings. Goddamn, nigga, you too blind to see you got fans, nigga. And a platform to make a classic rap song to change a nigga's life. But you too anxious living life. Always worry about the critics who ain't never fucking did it. I write what's in my heart, don't give a fuck who fucking with it. But in a sense, I can relate. The need to be great turns into an obsession and keeps a nigga up late. Writing words, hoping people observe the dedication that stirs in you constantly. But intentions get blurred. Do I do it for the love of the music or is there more to me? Do I want these niggas to worship me? False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, false prophet. These rappers insecure. They talk about being a man so much I finally understand that they ain't even sure about who they are and why they do this. Guess I'm included in that category as a nigga who done had the glory. My highest moments come from telling all the saddest stories I've seen in my life. I be fiending the right songs that raise a hair on my arms. My lowest moments came from trying too hard to impress some niggas that couldn't care for mom. Therefore, from here on out, my hair grow out. I care nothing about opinions. I wanna give hope like the fountains you throw pennies in. Hit the store, take your dip, make your wish. This is dedicated to the ones that listen to me on some faithful shit. I'm on some thankful shit. But the real God is in you, not the music you copping. I hear my old shit and know I can top it. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this.
He said it. You heard him, my man. Fire. Fire. We good, bro. Yo, thank you, man.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from J. Cole entitled False Prophet, in parenthesis, Be Like This. But to that I'll say, well, hey, it'd be like this, but then again, we never know till we know. That's a truism. Think what we will. We can think anything, but we never know till we know. Anyway, with this article, well, not article, but some words on intersectionality, it says further here, well, let me give out our calling number first off before I go further. It's area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and give me your opinion on what you think about safe spaces or freedom of speech or freedom of choice. And also intersectionality. Let's talk about it. Anyway, this article here goes on to say that just because you are female or disabled or a person of color or have a certain body type, overweight, underweight, average, does not mean that your experiences of sexism, ableism, or racism, or sizism are an exact match for experiences of other kinds of oppression. One person or group may have multiple forms of oppression directed against them at the same time. This can complicate matters considerably. And I'm going to interject there. Thank you very much. It goes further to say that two people or groups with different forms of oppression directed against them may both have legitimate needs which come in conflict with each other. Picking a way to reconcile these needs is hard and tends to fall disproportionately hard on people who are already struggling. Well, that's a truism. And with this issue of safe spaces and freedom of speech, well, more so safe spaces, I had gotten engaged into a conversation on Facebook in terms of this conversation here, and I want to read out some of the postings on this here. One person had posted, all these white baby boomers continue to lament safe spaces since they relish free exchange and robust debate. Yet they want to undiverse universities that through their privileging of whiteness neither prioritized free exchange or robust debate. Look at the student faculty demographics. Look at the curriculum. Make me wonder, not really, if they only believe in safe spaces for white people. But you know what? Concerning, all right, what this person here said here, I read that. And then when what she said in the end there about safe spaces for white people, something that then jumped out to my mind was the system of segregation that lasted 400 years. That was safe spacing for white people. Really? Keeping Negroes, keeping black people out of their spaces. Segregation. That was the first, propagation of safe spaces, although not put in that language. But also, segregation was a negative, a total negative. And it came from delusional people, basically. Racist people, delusional. Anyway, another Facebook person had written, and this is a Facebook friend, had written, interesting observation. So are white boomers significantly different than white folks of later generations? And then she said, by the way, I integrated those white boomer schools. And she's also Caucasian, this person here is. But then again, I guess she feels that like she integrated those white boomer schools either in one or two ways. Either that because of her mindset and then being in a white school, you know, that in itself is her integrating that school. Or she could mean that she was one of those of age and in the civil rights movement. In other words, welcoming black people into white institutions. Could mean either way. And then another Facebook person has said, safe spaces are such a widely misunderstood concept, too. Most of the time, it feels like people just oppose what they think it means rather than what they actually are. And then what I wrote was, words are being twisted and distorted out of the original meaning, then, too, with conscious intent. That's what I believe. Because, again, remember what I had said earlier in the show about how during the period of slavery, the issue of slavery was considered not favorable to talk about. And also the integration of, well, not integration at that point in time, but like just thinking of black people in terms of not being slaves, it was considered repugnant, a vile idea. How dare you? What? You know, yes, it's true. But then again, we come up to this day, and that kind of thinking was not left into yesterday. It has evolved. That kind of thinking, yes. Understand the way I use that term. That kind of thinking has evolved, not up from where it was, but it has spread from what it was. Not necessarily, you know, evolved up, but like evolved parallel, if I could say it like that. But anyway, moving right along. This other person has said here. Let's see. He said, white parent, why do you need to teach diversity? Your focus should be on STEM while they focus on the radical religious leaders. No. Why do you need to teach diversity? Your focus should be on STEM while they focus on that radical religious leaders are taking away evolution in the class. None of it makes sense. Maybe Common Core should be a class in basic reasoning. Maybe then they will begin to wake up. Another person had written, the term safe space is a fairly middling-sized pet peeve of mine, which often puts me in the minority as a psychologist. The term often suggests that without this space, people are likely to be physically harmed or that they are so very fragile that they need protection. What people are really referring to is an environment or space where one can be emotionally vulnerable and supported by like-minded people, often made up of one's identity group. However that is defined, being emotionally vulnerable in these spaces is what enables people to go out, and emotionally is what makes people. Let me get that right. Being emotionally vulnerable in these spaces is what enables people to go out and emotionally and spiritually and sometimes physically deal with the world. The world of racism, xenophobia, heterosexism, sexism, these places are crucial for people of marginalized groups, however they are defined. To need such a place based upon whiteness alone is ridiculous. And then I wrote this here. I had said, speaking of safe spaces for white people is what racism is predicated on. The system of segregation was the ultimate expression of safe spaces for white people. A safe space for white people means exclusion of as many people except other white people. Does the term safe space mean the same for African Americans and or others not white? If the phrase has any concrete meaning, it should mean the same for each and all. If it doesn't, why doesn't it? Is there nuance to this phrase? And then some person replied, yep. Okay, and moving right along. Some more quotes here or postings from that conversation. One person says, yes, also the idea that it's only now that things are dangerous, as though it hasn't been dangerous for non-white people all along. And then another person has said, Coates, I guess they're talking about Ta-Nehisi Coates, that he's referred to as the most prominent black intellectual today, Ta-Nehisi Coates. He says, Coates said it when he was here. America is safe space for white people. Well, in that matter, not just America, but Europe as well. Hell. And wherever white people are is a safe space for them. Remember, they got all the guns. Anyway, another Facebook friend has said, yep, in schools, on the streets, in the legislature, and in home, in life and in death, safety for white people, as Americans, as guns and apple pie. And So that's that issue there on safe spaces. See, it took up a whole lot of time, but it's okay because I enjoy talking about it. Yes, I did. Indeed, I did. And then now the next issue, which will probably be carried on into next week as well, concerning Donald Trump. President Trump. I mean, really, can we President Trump, really, I mean, it's sad. It's a sad day in America. It's a sad day in the world when a person like Donald Trump can actually be president of these United States. You know, he's the president, but I don't have any respect for him, and I could even say, as other people say, he's not my president. No. No, he certainly isn't. I refuse to have someone as ignorant as him as my president. Matter of fact, a brother of mine, he and I were talking just the other night about Donald Trump, and he was telling me, well, also let me say that my brother is like 4 to 5 years older than me. Matter of fact, he's 4 years older than me. I know that now. So therefore, he was here 4 years before me, so therefore he was coming into conscious 4 years before I was. But anyway, he has said that he's never seen a president like Donald Trump. And let me also say, my brother isn't necessarily political. He really isn't. But because he likes to watch news and stuff, he likes to watch news, but he don't like watching Donald Trump. No, he don't. I seen the expression on his face the other night when I was over his house. He was ready to turn the channel, actually. But me and my cousin were there because we were talking about what that clown was talking about. My brother didn't change the channel. But anyway, I digress. My brother had said that that he never remembers a president talking like Donald Trump talks. He said that he remembers listening to Kennedy. He remembers listening to President Johnson. He remembers Nixon. He remembers Ronald Reagan. He remembers hearing Bill Clinton and then Obama just last year, naturally. And he said, but he said Trump, he said he's never heard nobody talk like Trump talks. And then understand, it's not what Trump says that gets him, because Trump ain't saying a damn thing, basically. It's how he talks. And some people are even saying that that Donald Trump actually speaks, articulates on a fourth grade level. But why fourth grade, right? Why not third grade? Okay, why not? But like they like to cut it off at the fourth grade level. And basically, that's what my brother is referring to when he said and when he says and said that he has never heard a president talk like Donald Trump talks. Even George Bush, Donald Trump talks. I'll put it this way, and saying what I just said, that even George Bush didn't talk like Donald Trump talks, or more so, don't talk the way Donald Trump does. And in having said that, I would say that George Bush, compared to Trump, George Bush is articulate, basically. Or better said, that George Bush, compared to Donald Trump, George Bush was articulate. This Donald Trump, I mean, honestly, I would say or could say that Donald Trump is an embarrassment to me being the president of our country. But no, I got nothing to do with Donald Trump being president of this country. I didn't vote for him. So therefore, he's not an embarrassment to me. No, he's not. But he ought to be, in a real sense, he ought to be an embarrassment to his family. That is, if his family has the ability to discern feelings of embarrassment, you know, to feel feelings of embarrassment, he ought to be an embarrassment to his family, actually. His immediate family, his extended family, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins, and naturally children, his children. I mean, like you might say, why, Dad? Why do you want to make a fool of yourself on such a national level or in such a public venue? Why? But that's not the case. That's not the case at all. He's a moron, basically. And this article, what I have here. But I guess before I do, in fact, go into the article, I got to play a music. I got to play a song. But like I said, this article I may not get to. Well, I won't do it all tonight. But there's always next week. Well, I'll put it this way: there's always next week, with or without us. For those who will be here, God bless them. For those of us who won't, God bless us too. Anyway, moving right along. This is a song from Jada, spelled J-A-D-A, entitled Feel. And here we go, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from Jada entitled Feel. And just saying, the name Jada is spelled J-A-D-A. And if I'm mispronouncing it, I have to apologize for that. But if I am, if you can, let me know that and I'll pronounce it correctly. Okay. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And just saying, you know, concerning Donald Trump, right, and the issue that I was just on prior to, excuse me, speaking about this. Now, him talking about the term safe spaces, he would come from that really, really, really moronic level in terms of talking about, you know, there shouldn't be no such thing as safe spaces because people just got to have a thick skin. And no, 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 no. There's more to it than that, Trump. Honestly, I mean, he's an ignoramus. That's what he is. He's the president. Out MFing rages. But anyway, this article here, no doubt I'm going to have to finish it up next week. It's entitled, but I will say firstly that the article was first published back in 2016, August 2016 to be exact, and to be more exact, it's dated August 4th, 2016. And the article is entitled, "A Neuroscientist Explains What May Be Wrong with Trump Supporters' Brains." That's what he says. Let me read that title again. "A Neuroscientist Explains What May Be Wrong with Trump Supporters' Brains." Never mind what's wrong with Trump's brain. We know something is wrong there. But the article extends itself to what might be wrong with supporters of Trump. Their brains, because this thing is connected. I mean, ignorance, in fact, prevails with Trump more so than with any other person in the spotlight today. Maybe on Duck's Dynasty, I mean, they might be a close first to Trump. I mean, I never really watched that show, but some clips that I've seen of it, I mean, they might be on the same level as Trump, or Trump might be on their level, or if they aren't, they can't be too far from one another. But anyway, here, let me just read some of this article. It says, "There's no doubt that Donald Trump has said many things that would have been political suicide for any other Republican candidate." So like I said, the article is from 2016, so therefore when he was running for the presidency. "And almost every time he made one of these shocking statements, political analysts on both the left and the right predicted that he'd lose supporters because of it. But as we have clearly seen over the past year, they were dead wrong every time. Trump appears to be almost totally bulletproof," they called it, but nobody's bulletproof. F that. "Anyway, the only thing that might be more perplexing than the psychology of Donald Trump is the psychology of his supporters. In their eyes, the Donald can do no wrong. Even Trump himself seems to be astonished by this phenomenon." Imagine that. He's astonished of his own ignorance, and then again, the ignorance of his followers. He's astonished. Well, no, in a real sense, Trump is the kind of person, he's not astonished at his own ignorance because he don't believe he's ignorant. But he is astonished at the ignorance of those who listen to him, and even more so astonished at those who voted for him. And now that he's president, you gotta truly know that he is astounded. Really? that people in this country can be so MFing ignorant, so MFing dumb. He's got to be astounded. And there's danger there, people. But anyway, I got about 90 seconds or less left of the show, and I don't want to just end up being cut off. So therefore, I'm going to go on and play us out of the show with a song. But we'll be back next week with more of this article and with more issues to discuss. So with that being said, I'm James Jones, host of Urban Society, and this is Indy Morell's Dollhouse Radio, and we're signing off until this show next week. And we're going to go on a song from, let me see, this thing is going to act up on me now, I don't believe it. All right, we're going to hear a song from Alana Evans entitled Perfect. And here we go, and we'll hear us next week. Everybody have a good week, and enjoy your day off tomorrow for those of you who are off tomorrow. Till then, have a good night.